The title of this message is Time and the New Year. This is more personal musings concerning time than it is a serious treatise on time. And maybe we can do something more serious later. This month reminds us of the passage of time and man's inability to control time. How much control over time do we have, or did we have, this last year? In Ecclesiastes, the preacher makes a statement about time that has become well known. He speaks of time and its proper use. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. I'll give you a chance to look it up. That is Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that which wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. The preacher opens his dissertation about time with two statements worthy of our attention. First, to everything there is a season, verse 1. Like so many other statements in Scripture, this must be taken into context of the entire revelation of God. There is never a time for sin. Second, a time for every purpose under heaven. Verse 1 again. Nothing avoids time. Every purpose under heaven has a proper time, which is established by the God of heaven. The Word of God clearly tells us that the triune God created time out of eternity. Furthermore, the book of Ecclesiastes plainly tells us that the Lord is the one in control of all time. Time answers to God. We see in Joshua 10, 2 Kings 20, verse 11, and in Isaiah 38, 8, that he can change time at his will. One of the hardest facts that man must face is that he cannot control time in any way. All man can do is learn to live in subjection to time. Ecclesiastes 3, however, is more specific than just time in general. Who can deny that time moves according to God's eternal possession? Verses 2 through 8 that we just read speaks of a specific time. 26 times the phrase a time to and 2 times a time for is used. Then the rest of the book develops the fact that God controls what time it is. The 28 events listed in verses 2 through 8 cover every area of life, showing that the Lord controls the timing of all events that come upon the world and that come into our lives. Acts 15:18 tells us, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. The preacher tells us that no event takes place apart from God's timing. Man can complain about the timing of events. He can make every effort under the sun to change or control God's timing of events, but all such efforts are vanity. As we shall see, His people are instructed to pray for the Lord to move in time and to control events which will accomplish their particular individual requests. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We will not examine the 28 times that are listed, the 28, quote, times that are listed by the preacher. We will only look at a point and some subpoints. The goal of this short essay is to remind us that the Lord controls time, and man can only subject himself to time and learn to use the time he has effectively. Man can either be grateful for God's timing of events, or man can fuss and complain over the Lord's timing. Either way, man can do extremely little, if anything, about the timing of events. Now notice here, this is an important point here in verse 2. The first mention of time. The first mention establishes the, let me read verse 1. To everything there's a season, and a time of every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And you notice here, a time to be born. A time to be born. The first mention establishes the absurdity of man thinking he has a free will with which he can control his own destiny and be his own God. A time to be born is an event that is completely beyond the control of any man. I have met many people who believe that they can control their own destiny and that they have free will. How absurd. This very time to be born, there's only four words there that shows the absolute absurdity of man thinking he has a free will. He did, a time to be born is an event that is completely beyond any control of any man. No man controls the time of his birth, his parents, his family heritage, his name, his hair or eye color, his gifts, or whatever. However, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did control every detail of his birth. A time to be born is the basis for the rest of the time twos, the remaining 27 times two, showing that those times are all controlled by God alone. Starting with a time to be born, there's not one event listed among the 28 listed that man can control the time. According to passages such as Daniel 4 and verse 35 and Romans 11, God even brings about a time of war. Man's rebellion against God's control of time is seen in the escalating suicide rate. Death is the only event that rebellious man thinks he can control, which is why suicide doctors are sought out. Suicide is man's final attempt to control his own destiny. Man does not control his birth nor his death. There is a time established by God to be born and to die. He will not be man will not be early or late for that appointed event. Man might think he controls planting, but God controls the time of plant to plant. God establishes a season and controls the weather that permits planting. We live in the middle of a farm community, fields all around us. The farmer cannot plant those fields until the time is right, and God controls the time. Not too long ago, God controlled the time of harvest, where there could be no harvest. It was so wet that the combines could not get into the fields. So God controlled the time of harvest. And for many farmers, that was a time of weeping because they could not get their crops in that they had worked so hard to plant. But God controls the weather that permits the planting, and He controls the weather that permits the harvesting. Well, man controls weeping. That is not what the passage says. The passage says a time to weep. Weeping is something with which we can all identify. The Word of God establishes the time to weep and the time to refrain from weeping. In passages such as Romans 12, verse 15, we read, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep." James 4 tells us in chapter 4, verse 9, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Chapter 5 and verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. How many times have we worked to bring about certain events of joy only to have all those carefully laid plans come to naught? We did our best to control the proper time, but in the end, time refused to be controlled. We have a granddaughter that lives not far from us. They planned their wedding, did all the invitations, sent everything out. A time of rejoicing they were planning. Spent great amounts of time planning that. But this pandemic came along, and they had to postpone the wedding for another month or so because the church refused to allow them to use the auditorium. So it was a time to weep then. It was a time of rejoicing, but it turned into a time of weeping because God controlled the time. The Lord is the one who controls time. We can say the same thing. Passing into heaven is certainly a time of rejoicing for those who are saved, but for those who are lost, it's a time of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We can say the same thing about all the 27 other events. The Lord controls the timing of the events that brings about man's response of weeping, dancing, rending, speaking, loving, embracing, warring, gaining or losing wealth. How many times have great amounts of wealth been lost because of timing? We work very hard to carefully lay our plans to see them come to nothing. We did our best to control the proper time, but in the end, time refused to be controlled. An illustration of man's response is in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 5. There we read, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him." That is, the wise man will keep the command word of God and be delivered from the problems that come upon the disobedient and rebellious. The wise man knows that there is a time of judgment coming when all things will be made right. Notice what David said in Psalms 31 and verse 8. "And hast not shut me up in the land of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." Spurgeon, according to verse 1, Spurgeon places this psalm at the time of Absalom. David talks about the efforts of his enemies against him as he pleads for the Lord's assistance. In verse 8, which we just read, David tells us that the Lord protected him from his enemies. To me, the key phrase is found on down in verse 15. "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. As we think of David's situation with Absalom, we remember that several times over, David saw what was happening just in time to flee from his life. And the same thing with the king before him. The same thing throughout David's life. Saul, we see how God controlled time, where David was able to escape from his enemy. My times are in thy hands. David faced many grievous situations concerning Absalom and Saul's effort to overthrow the throne and kill him. These events, of course, David was not on the throne yet with Saul, but Saul knew that David was going to have the throne. So he was very hostile and very determined to kill David, but God controlled the timing of events to where David was continually able to escape. Those events and their timing was totally out of David's control, but they took place in such a timely manner that David's life was spared. In other words, the Lord controlled the timing in such a manner as to spare David and his throne. David faced a time of war, but the Lord controlled the timing of war. Throughout his book, the preacher develops the 28 timings that are found in verses 2 through 8. The preacher starts by developing the times of one's birth. He points out that God determined the time, place, the surrounding events, and the parents of one's birth. In the preacher's case, the result of God's timing for his birth was a time of great military might and wealth and all that went with that. On over in chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes, the preacher laments that without the inner good and the peace of God with the wealth, it would be better to be born at another time apart from wealth. For all go to the common place, which is the realm of the dead. The inner good and peace is better than the wealth with the troubles that might be brought about by God's timing of one's birth into great wealth. Many things about time are developed throughout the book. First of all, the timing of events in our lives is of the Lord, and our responsibility is to discern the timing and act properly in that time. We could call the following God's providence at work in time. Of course, we know providence controls everything. God controlled the timing of events that brought things to a head that had to be dealt with in our lives. And how many times have I tried to postpone or put off or avoid things I did not want to deal with, but I could not put them off. God's timing brought them to pass where I had no choice but to deal with those things. God controlled the timing of events that may have caused us to lose our job. God controlled the timing of events that brought a particular man or woman together to be later married. God controlled the timing of events that caused us to lose the money or miss the good deal. I knew a man as an associate pastor in Louisiana. This man was always in the right place at the right time. He was a retired Air Force, and he made a good extra income by being in the right place at the right time. He could buy what we would consider a piece of junk, tinker with it. He had an air compressor for sandblaster and for paint. He would tinker with it, paint it, park it beside the road, and easily double his money. The Lord gave him a talent to take that junk and make something of value of it, and he supported the Lord's work with it. God gives the ability to make money to his people so they can support the work of God. But the Lord worked the timing of events so he could get the piece of junk at a good price. Man could have ignored the time and event of events that made the treasures available, but it would have cost him the reward being provided by the Lord. God controls the time and event of events that permit one to get a good job, or that permits one to find a good deal on a particular item. He is the one who sees that one is in the right place at the right time. God controlled the timing of events that forced us to make a decision, which we may now look back on with regret. Each of us can look back over our lives and see how the timing of events was completely out of control. But that series of events is what brought us to the present point in our lives. We can even get more specific. Many times the timing of events was right down to a split second. If the event had taken one half second either way, we would not be here today. Years ago, back in the 60s, a motorcycle pulled out in front of me, and my split second decision at that time spared both of our lives. I totaled out a car and scared the man so bad he could not ride on. He had to pull over to the road and park. It was so close. Sadly, God is the one who controls the timing for us to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we lose our shirt. How many tens of thousands of dollars have we lost by being at the wrong place at the wrong time? My dad, for example, and myself too, in the wrong place at the wrong time, cost us many thousands of dollars. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Excuse me. There's no coincidences in life. So we must say here with David, my times are in thy hands. We are not left as a helpless victim of time. Our time is in God's hands. A second thing to notice here, is what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons." Notice that. He changes the seasons. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." James also says in 5 verses 16 through 18, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Elias obeyed God's command to pray. God told him to pray that. And he changed God's timing of planting and reaping by withholding rain for 3 years. God controls the time of planting and reaping. God's word assures us that prayer of a righteous man do not go unheard. Man is to pray that God would control time or even change the timing of events to work events for the glory of God. At what point are God's times, as recorded in Ecclesiastes 3, 2 through 8, firmly established and cannot be changed? We have no way of even speculating, no more than we can control the time for us being born, which is verse 2. That is totally beyond our control. We can make plans. We can do everything imaginable to bring things about to our liking. But the times are in His hand. We can control those times no more than we could control the time to be born. All we know is God. All we know is that the God who established time hears and answers the prayers of His people. And God's answers, He works time according to what pleases Him and according to what is best for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. God always works time according to His divine purpose and for the benefit of the elect. The book of Job clearly shows us that the Lord controls the timing of all events that comes into our lives. The devil himself may bring the events to pass, but he only operates within God's timetable. It's very clear. God is either God or He isn't. Yes, the timing events may seem very poor. If only the timing would have been a little different, I would not have missed out on that good deal. Or if only these two events had not taken place at the same time, things would be different. And look on the other side of it. If the timing had been different, I would not have met the one I am married to today. Or I would not have the job I now have. Or I would not be converted. The list is endless as we think back over God's control of time in our past. And there's all of us can look back and see, saved and unsaved, of how God controlled, that control of time was totally out of our hands. The preacher tells us that it is vain to think that we can control time and make events turn out according to our plans. Thus, he says, all is vanity. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. Another thought also surfaces. If the only reason for working and making money is to enjoy life because one cannot take it with him, then what is the use? Which is a legitimate question. If the only purpose of your life is to work and make money so you can go on a vacation or so you can go for weekend camping or whatever you might do for yourself, if the only purpose in life is to make money so you can enjoy life, then what's the use? It's all vanity. It's not worth anything. James 4, verses 11 through 16 tells us that it is vain boasting to think that we can control the timing of things that we plan. If one does not follow the book of Ecclesiastes through to the end, he will miss the whole point the Lord is making with the apparent vanity of all things that the preacher says. In fact, as I read the book through, I must keep the end in mind, or I would quit the Christian lifestyle. Yes, God controls the timing of all events in heaven and on earth, or He would not be God. Our responsibility is not to fret over the timing of events, either past, present, or future. We cannot change God's time, for He alone determines what time it is. Is it time to plant? If so, He brought that time about, and we will be held accountable for our faithfulness of using that time properly to plant. We are commanded to obey God. And to work time for His glory. If one waits for perfect time to do something, then something would never get done. I've perfected the art of procrastination, so if you need some excuses to procrastinate on what you need to do, all you gotta do is send me an email and I'll give you plenty. But I notice the farmers around us, they can't wait for the perfect conditions. They have to do what they can do as soon as they can do it. The man who waits for perfect conditions to do his activity will never get it done. Timing is God's creation. Time moves in perfect obedience to its creator. Man can understand neither God's timing nor his use of time to accomplish his glorious purpose in our lives and in history. It is impossible to see events from God's perspective, so most of the time there appears to be neither rhyme nor reason to the timing of events. But as we look back, we can easily see God's control of time in our lives. So what option is left for man? Is all vanity, as this book appears to teach? Is every effort of life vain because the same thing happens to all men and the timing of events is out of man's control? This book, which seems to paint a very grim picture overall, does not leave man hopeless. In conclusion here, though there are many statements scattered throughout the book that answers the difficulties of vanity and time, we will only look at two. One is in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5. You want to look? Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is greater upon him. The wise man will understand what time it is. He will not try to reap in the time of sowing. He will not laugh in the time of mourning. He will not mourn in the time of laughter. The discerning person will not try to hang on when it is time to let loose, nor will he love when it's time to hate, nor make war when it's time for peace. And I'm sorry, we have a real problem here with time. Men are having some kind of a emotional love when it's time to hate the evil around us and the evil men who are against God. Yes, David said, I hate those who hate God. And we must hate those who hate God. But that's another message, and we may deal with it at another time. In our day of prolonged life, due to what God has provided through medical science, we especially need God's discernment concerning proper time. All 28 times must be viewed as a responsibility to discern the time, because we will be accountable to God for the proper use of time. We read in Isaiah 65, verse 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. That is, as the kingdom of light expands, according to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and as it replaces the kingdom of darkness, natural life expectancy will expand. And we looked at that when we looked at the Christmas message out of Ezekiel. Secondly, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's proper time. At God's proper time, we must sow. We must make war. We must laugh. We must mourn. We must kill. We must heal, repair, and rend. The list is quite extensive, and the Spirit of God gives us the discernment to know what time it is. In 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, we read, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. We need to have understanding of the times. Read the Word of God, and the Word of God, and pray for understanding, and the Word of God will give us understanding of the times. As the preacher told us, life can be empty and vain to the rich and poor alike, for all go to the same place when life is over. So what's the use? Is all vanity? No one can understand God's working in time. We are not required to understand those things that are as high above us as the heavens are above the earth, but we are most certainly given a responsibility within the time God has provided. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The Westminster Shorter Catechism was agreed upon in 1648. The first question of that catechism is, what is the chief end of man? Okay, what's the purpose of life? You read through Ecclesiastes. What's the purpose of life? Is the purpose of life to make a good living, to have a nice home, to drive a new car or a nice car? Is the purpose of life to send the children to college? And that would be a drastic mistake. Send your children to college so they can be trained and they can come out as committed Marxists as we see today. What is the purpose of life? And that's been a question that sinful man has wrestled with for millenniums. But we see the Word of God clearly gives us the purpose of life. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the passages on that is Psalms 86 verse 9, Isaiah 60 verse 21, Romans 11 verse 36, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10:31, that's my favorite one, it's 10:31, Revelations 4:11, and enjoy Him forever. We have Psalm 16 verses 5 through 11, Psalms 144 verse 15, Isaiah 12 verse 2, Luke 2 verse 10, Philippians 4 verse 4, and Revelation 21 3 to 4. What is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? What is your goal? What is your purpose? Why are you here on this earth? And people get distressed and say, what is my purpose on earth? Well, man's chief end is to glorify God. Some years ago, I read an account of a family who was stopped at a toll booth. And a fuel tanker ran in and rammed the car, and the fuel caught fire. There was a boy who was burned extensively, terribly, and maimed as a result of the fire. And he recovered, and he went about from then on testifying of the Lord's mercy. Though he was horribly maimed and burned and scarred, but he testified to the glory of God. His chief end, he realized, was to glorify God. And I don't remember all the details. All I remember is reading the horrible story. And that must have been probably back in the early 80s that happened. And some of you may remember when that happened back in the 80s. But he was, like I said, he's horribly maimed and burned. And he testified of the Lord's goodness, and his testimony was a tremendous encouragement to many others. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I hope that that's your hope. I pray that that would be your hope, is to glorify God forever in heaven. Our times are in the hands of the Lord, therefore we are assured that He works the timing of all events that come into our lives for our good and for His praise, honor, and glory. Whether we eat, drink, drive, work, play, preach, or whatever we do, whatever area you are involved in, your responsibility and my responsibility is to use our short amount of time here on this earth to glorify God by keeping His commandments. or we will have to say our time on this earth will have been vain. And we will spend eternity, those who reject Christ will spend eternity thinking and remembering the vanity of their life. This is Brother Need, Reverend Need, and you can find us at sermonaudio.com/providence or at Biblical, B-I-B-L-I-C-A-L, Examiner, one word, Biblical Examiner, .org. Let us hear from you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the assurance that we have that you control time. And Lord, we're living a day today when all is vanity. People are flitting about, searching for happiness and things that will satisfy the flesh. And it's not there. They'll never find it, Father, outside of you. Help us to have a purpose in life. Our purpose is to glorify you and enjoy you forever, Father. We praise your name for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.